Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Lending Forward. And today we've got a pretty special guest. I met this man a long time ago and I love his heart. I love what he stands for. And I think he changed the real estate industry and, kind of turned it upside down. And that's what I love about him. So, you know, when I say he talks from the heart, you know, and shares his heart, and he literally wrote a book that says he's too nice for sales, and so I want to introduce the world through our podcast to the man who is too nice for sales. And Barry, I'm going to let you introduce yourself real quick and kind of where you've been. I know you've got some pretty cool beginnings that I actually really love and are close to my heart, and we'll talk about that in a sec.
But okay. Awesome.
We'll let you jump in.
Look, I'm really excited to be here. I love what you're doing on the podcast. I started in the industry when I was 18, and I'm 44 now, so that's what, like 26 years.
And goes by quick.
Yeah. Run a very large team in Virginia Beach. About 8 years ago, started working with a really innovative digital marketing firm called Wailopo. Yep. Became the head realtor in residence there. It's become kind of a fascinating journey in and of itself, and the learnings of teaching agents across the country. I took those learnings and I put them into that book that became a bestseller, 25,000 copies sold, remaining persistently on the top Amazon lists, and it's called Too Nice for Sales, as you've already mentioned.
Yeah.
So for me, just a true desire. I have a servant's heart, teacher's heart. I really love helping people, and the cool thing is, you can. A lot of times, as somebody that wants to serve others, we are too concerned with pleasing and not concerned enough about helping. And that nuance there is the difference between making money in sales and not. So a lot I could say there, but
So you actually have a beginning before that too. And that's one of those things that really speaks to my heart. And I have this connection with people that have been youth pastors.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just love youth pastors. There's something that's in a youth pastor, like in their makeup and how they are put on this planet for a specific reason that just makes you wonderful people.
Oh, thank you. Went to college.
Yeah.
Got a degree in ministry, another in theology, pastored in different capacities for 9 years.
Yeah.
Of course, had to work in real estate to cover the expenses.
Absolutely.
I know that experience of running a volunteer organization in a church and teaching people several times a week, without a doubt, impacted my real estate career. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's dive into the book real quick.
Okay.
Because I read this book and I read it very quickly and absolutely loved it. And I want to talk about my favorite parts of the book, and then I want to get a little bit deeper and I want to talk about your favorite part or two.
Okay.
But one of my favorite parts of the book is that so many people in the real estate industry, and, you know, if we're honest, like in mortgages as well, stand at the top of a mountain and they're like, hey, it's the mountain of home ownership. And they're saying, hey, if you want a house, if you want to sell a house, or if you want to buy a house, I'm right here. Just, let me know. I've got keys. I'll let you in and take care of it. And the problem is, and, obviously most people that are listening to this realize this, is most people aren't at that point.
Right.
They're somewhere along that mountain of home buying or home selling. And, a lot of people don't come down from that pinnacle of the mountain to like meet them where they're at.
Right.
And when you do, that's when magic happens.
Well, yeah, and you make a lot more money.
Yeah, true.
Because really what this all comes down to is does the consumer have clarity on what their needs are?
Yeah.
As real estate professionals, we love a lead that when we talk to them, they're able to say, yeah, I'm buying next month, or I want to buy in this neighborhood. They know exactly what they want, when they want to move, and I'm able to be, take on more of a waiter or a waitress vibe. You know, yep. Would you like fries with that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like it's very transactional in nature.
Yeah.
However, this happens to be one of the largest financial transactions of a person's life, and it takes a long time to gain that clarity on what their needs are.
Absolutely.
And so as a professional, I'm all day long marketing myself to try to find those people that have clarity. I'm on the top of the mountain. I'm like, hey, does anybody have clarity? Like, if you know what you want, come see me, right?
Yep.
And I realized early on that the bulk of people that are shopping on real estate websites do not know what they want.
Yeah.
And so I decided that I would come off that top of the mountain waiting for people with clarity. I would go to the bottom where the people are like, yeah, I'm waiting a year. I have no idea mm-hmm. what I want. I'm going to lock arms with them, right?
Yeah.
It's like the old school first-time homebuyer seminars, right? Mm-hmm. At scale, rinse and repeat, where you're basically celebrating their lack of clarity. So instead of being disappointed with their lack of clarity and saying, oh, it's okay, I'll send you some information, call me when you're ready. And, yeah. and our heart is in that moment, oh, I'm not being pushy, right? I'm a nice person,
yeah.
right? The problem is I have no value there.
Yeah.
This is a very complicated process. And I'm like, yeah, here's an email. I'll send you something. You got my number. Call me when you have enough clarity to ask me a question. That's what we're saying.
Absolutely.
And like, look, I was not a great student in high school. My teacher, I was an athlete, and my teacher would ask the class, does anybody have any questions? I didn't know enough to ask a question.
Yeah.
And so our whole pitch of, do you have any questions? Let me know. I'm basically burdening them with figuring it out on their own.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of saying, I'm so glad you're not ready. I'm so glad we happen to be talking right now. Let's meet and let's sit down and review the process. And this is particularly helpful in light of the recent changes with the Department of Justice and the National Association lawsuit. Because
absolutely.
As a buyer's agent, I now have to clarify with certainty what my value proposition is
mm-hmm.
with confidence. And it's much easier for me to do that and add value when I can take on the role of a teacher to that buyer
absolutely.
Or seller, right? Instead of just being a door opener.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So that is – and I think, you know, this is not a complicated, subject. Like
right.
it is not a complicated, idea.
Right.
You know,
right.
Ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask questions, you know, get to know them, meet them where they are. There's nothing complicated about that, but so many people just don't do it.
Well, yeah. I remember speaking with a lead online. I was never formally trained to mm-hmm. sell. I was trained to teach, right?
Yep.
Now we know teachers can make the best salespeople, but I remember talking to a lead, not trying to convert anything, listening to him tell me what his plans were. And it was a really bad plan. Now, I don't remember the particulars of the plan. I remember as he was saying it that he was going to – in my mind, I was like, man, he's going to waste a year.
Yeah.
He's going to waste, you know, $20,000. Like it was just mm-hmm. – he was missing a lot. And I listened and I said, you know, can I be candid with you, John? And he was like, yeah. And I said, that's a really bad plan. And I wasn't – now, in sales circles, right, that's like, dang, he's a hardcore closer. I wasn't. I was just like, oh, my gosh, this guy's a hot mess, you know?
Yeah.
And that spurred on this sales evolution. That year, I sold 125 homes without any staff, without an assistant, without any admin, just like 10 homes a month, just crushing it because I was like a voice of the people. I was a breath of fresh air to the consumer. And if we all think about major purchases in our life, when you deal with an authentic salesperson, like you remember them.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like I remember the guy that sold me a water filtration system in my house in Chesapeake in 2008, right? Like because he was just a real dude, you know?
Yeah.
Like and since then I bought two other house filtration systems because I just didn't feel like he was trying to sell. I felt like he was trying to help. And that's the name of the game here.
And that's why I think too nice for sales just works.
Yeah.
You know, it rings true to people. And, you know, when you first got into business, and I know you talk about this in the book, and by the way, everybody should read this book.
Thank
like
you.
Everybody in real estate, everybody in mortgage should just read this book.
Thank you.
It's a quick, easy read, and it is wonderful. But the whole idea is, you know, just be nice, like change the whole thing. I remember back in the day, like there were sales tactics where, you know, people were being taught as salespeople that when you walked up to the front door of a client, like they have your money and your job is to get it.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Well, it is horrible. And listen carefully what I'm about to say. It's also effective. And that's why people do it. They manipulate.
Yeah.
They force people into doing things because there are certain people that are able to sell that way and make a living, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for the person that sells that way, there's a point in time, it's not right away, but you start to callous yourself to others around you. And so I think the iterative impact of not caring about others all day, it does impact your interpersonal relationships, how you – with your loved ones, people that are important to you. There's just no way to like be a jerk all day and not be a jerk at home, you know?
So true.
And however, you know, I really like making money, you know? Yeah. Like I don't want to be broke. And so for me, I had this ethical dilemma that I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. I had learned how to manipulate people by selling $50,000 buildings over the phone. When the real estate market crashed, I had a side hustle where I was selling buildings. I had been taught and I was very good at manipulating people because that's what they taught me to do.
Yeah.
And it just got to the point where I was like, I don't like this, right? And and so it forced me to figure out a way to be more concerned about helping people than I am about pleasing them. That's really the rub here. The hardcore closer has elected to not care. That's how they're able to push them into something.
Yep.
The person that is too nice has to take on the disposition and almost like hold their nose to the fact, I know this person doesn't want to talk to me right now. Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, I don't care, I'm going to say, I care so much that I'm going to keep talking.
I love that.
And it is uncomfortable for 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's an uncomfortable 3 to 5 minute conversation where you know this person would rather not be speaking to me. But if I come from that place of service, I'm going to start to ask them really great questions that cause them to think, wait a second, this person is actually providing me value right now. I don't have a long list of humans that when I get done talking to them, I've learned more about myself. Like people pay therapists a lot of money to walk away and have clarity, right? But if you, as a real estate professional, so it's just as simple as, and I talk about in the book, asking somebody what kind of home do you want is like that waiter or waitress top of the mountain. Like, what do you want, right? Yeah. You want fries with that or do you want soda? Like, what do you want? Mm-hmm. If you change the question and you say, well, look, I know you're not ready to move. What are you hoping to change about where you live? I'm giving them the benefit of looking in their past to say, what do I not like?
Yeah.
Now they're gaining clarity on what their needs are, and it reframes the entire conversation just with – so whoever's asking the questions is controlling the conversation, and you can control the narrative to where they're adding value just by talking to you. And honestly, like this opens up the lead pool significantly, like
for both
mortgage professionals and real estate professionals. If you make the sale education and empowerment, you just went from like 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100, excuse me, leads working to like 10 out of 100 in your pipeline. Like it's a significant increase in revenue for the business owner and you're helping.
Absolutely. And what you said there, I need everyone to hear. You said something absolutely golden. It is an uncomfortable 3 to 5 minute conversation. That is the gold right there.
Yeah.
You know, because if you can just be uncomfortable for 3 to 5 minutes, you can literally change these people's lives.
Absolutely. And let me say this, like people laugh at me sometimes when I say like, you need courage to do this. Okay. You need courage. And I used to think courageous people were people that weren't afraid. It's not true.
Yeah.
You only need courage while you do something while you're afraid.
Yeah.
So for all of us, we're perpetually scared of prospecting and calling strangers and talking to them about real estate. And if we just take on the disposition like, look, it's going to be uncomfortable and that's – let's just normalize it. It's okay that you're uncomfortable right now. You can do hard things. All you need is enough courage to do the right thing in that moment. And it never completely goes away, that angst. But what I'll find is people are able to manage it really well. You know, I've got an amazing sales team that works for me. And I don't have any of those hardcore closers. That's not who I've attracted. Yeah. I've attracted nice people that want to learn how to make a living the right way.
Well, and listen, you've proven that it works.
Yeah.
You know, you have a track record that proves that you can be nice in sales. Yeah. So thank you for doing that on behalf of the entire industry. Like, thank you, because that's the kind of people I like dealing with. Yeah. You know, people that are nice, people that are not there just looking for the buck, and people that are not just trying to do whatever it takes to just get a deal done. Like, I want somebody who truly cares. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And, you know, let's go back to the book. And my second favorite thing of the book is actually at the very end.
Okay.
So, typically when I get to the end of the book and you get to where like all the acknowledgements are and all that stuff, I skip that part. Yeah. You know, I read too many books to like spend that time there.
Sure.
And luckily, and honestly, you worded it beautifully. You said a little bit more about my religion. So it intrigued me. I was like, let's go.
Yeah, so I
carried on and I went through, and oh my goodness gracious, like the stories that are back there.
Sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Please, you will enjoy them. They're amazing. And they talk about, you know, one of my favorite topics, which is there are no coincidences.
Sure.
You know, and you give a couple of examples of that. So
yeah,
thank you.
You know, religion, I'm a Christian, and religion in business is uncomfortable for people. I wrote the book, and after I finished the book, I felt compelled to share more about who I am. And so I started to think, well, who am I? Why did I come to these conclusions in my sales career? And ultimately, my heart was, and I mentioned it in the foreword of the book, I said, or the intro rather, this is not a Christian book. However, it's such a key component of who I am. Yeah. And the way that Jesus, whether you are a Christian or not, most the historicity of Jesus, that there was a man named Jesus that walked the earth, anybody that's a reasonable scholar will say, okay, like there was a guy named Jesus, right, who had followers. And so studying the way that he taught his followers really was the key component of my sales conversion process, because like, you know, he's like teaching people how to change their life. And like, there's some really uncomfortable, like the Sermon on the Mount, like it's like not an easy sermon. Like, you know, it goes into some really like, turn your other cheek if they smack you. Like, that's a tough thing to hear. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he always asked the students questions. So I say all that to say, I felt like I needed to share that part of me in a way that a non-Christian could read and not I don't know about you guys, but I've chosen to respect people that are different than me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like, regardless of who you are, I'm going to choose to listen and respect you regardless if we disagree, right?
Yep.
What a great word for, you know, the political climate of the day, right? Just respect one another. Jeez. Anyway. And so for me, I wanted to stay true to that. So I decided to share very specific examples of ways that I saw God move in my life, and why, both from a practical, scientific, historical, apologetical viewpoint, what are the tangible reasons that I believe what I believe, and here's why I believe I'm too nice. And I'm doing air quotes if you're listening and you're not watching. And so I added it at the back. I was really nervous about it because the book release was in Vegas.
It was fantastic.
It was at a conference with 1,500 real estate professionals, and the conference center said, hey, can we buy 1,500 copies and give all the attendees the book?
Oh, my goodness.
The book launch is in Vegas. They had not read the book, and I was like, do I tell them it talks about my faith? Like, how do I decided that I was not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
And there, a wide array of people from a wide array of religions have all come to me over the last 2 years and have said, like, they just loved my candid stories about where I came from. So
that's,
I think,
awesome.
There's a way to do it and not be a jerk about it.
Well, yeah, and you didn't push anything.
No.
You just shared your experiences, and this is why you are who you are.
Right,
and I think
right.
that's fantastic. And,
yeah, thanks,
you know,
man.
You live that.
Yeah.
You live that on a daily basis, and people see it.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I will say, you know, I heard a podcast literally yesterday during my run, and Ed Milet said, you know, coincidence is just God's way of remaining anonymous.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's been ringing in my ears since I heard that, and I just love that.
Yeah, well, and yep. those examples of why I believe what I believe were, you know, there were several instances where I shared, like I think we were talking about it before the podcast, where yep. I got woken up in the middle of the night, and I had never had this happen before, but I felt like, you know, I need to pray. Like
yeah.
I just, and for one of my clients,
right? Yeah.
I called the client the next day, and I didn't find out that next day, but later, maybe a week later or so, I found out that like at that exact time that she woke up, she had fallen on the kitchen floor. This was like 3 a.m. or something like that, passed dead. She coded.
Yep. Oh my goodness!
And the ambulance professionals were, you know, they were teamed up. They were trying. They revived her, obviously, because I was talking to her on the phone the next day. But for me to be woken at the exact time that she dropped dead, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the odds are in Vegas for something like that, but that's some crazy odds, you know? Like,
I don't even think millions works in that case. I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. But, and I was scared to tell her,
yeah.
Hey, I got woken up at this time. Cause I mean, not everybody, I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to hear, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did because I got to hear that story.
Well, I tell everybody that when I call them like out of the blue, that it's because their name came to my mind.
Oh, that's great.
And I have a philosophy that I follow, that I listen to, that if somebody's name comes to my mind, I call them or reach out to them right away.
That's amazing.
Cause you never know.
Yeah. You never know. I agree. That's fantastic. Yep. Dude.
Yeah. And there's too many stories like that. Again, I don't believe in coincidences.
Sure.
No, absolutely. I just don't. Yep. So you're doing some really cool stuff with a really cool tech company. Uh-huh. And I want to give you a chance to just talk about that because this is on a lot of people's minds right now.
Yeah.
AI is a part of everything now.
Sure.
You know, ChatGPT like came onto the stage and like took over and mm-hmm. like got people interested in it. And now there is so much more.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Wailopo for a second.
So yep. Wailopo is a digital marketing company that specializes in digital marketing, but also has a focus on AI for both lead conversion and lead nurture. And then we've just recently developed a sister company called Maverick. And I could say so much about my journey over the last 8 years. I mean, when I started with the company, I was a customer and they said, can you help for an hour a week? And then a month later, they said, can you do 5? And then 3 months later, they asked for 10. Within 6 months, I was curating the entire training content for the organization. And now they have hundreds of employees, right? So just a really cool journey. Just a side note, people ask me all the time. At that moment in 2016, 2017, I had a very successful business.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, why did I decide to link up with those guys, right?
Yep.
Shark Tank always says you don't invest in products, you invest in people. You
Absolutely.
Watch the investors with a lot of money, that's what they do. And just these guys were just different. The way they talked, the way they acted, the way they looked at their potential customers, it was just a fantastic environment. And so I locked arms with them. And of course, history has shown that that was a fantastic decision.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just say this. For the last year, we have developed the leader in AI voice technology, which is a convergence of probably 4 or 5 different specific AI technologies.
That's cool.
Everything from, you know, large language models to AI voice and how it reads, voice inflections, you know, the actual processing of the words. And there's just so many use cases for that, and I'll just share two. Now we have, I call them robots, but it's AI, getting a 52% answer rate across the country. And that's because AI is using a shake and stir number with phone numbers to always have a local number.
Yep.
But what's remarkable is a 10.2 transfer rate. So basically, if it calls 100 people, 52 are going to answer. And of the 52 that answer 10, I'm going to get connected to a live agent.
That is insane.
3 to 5 minute long conversations that are substantive. And I'll give an example. When we were first developing it, we tested it. And my job is to teach the robot how to talk, right?
Okay.
And so
that's
I would have
cool.
to, yeah. Oh, dude, such a fascinating. Like, I've got a bunch of liberal arts degrees. Didn't learn what a noun was until I was in my 20s. Like, the fact that I'm doing this is just fantastic. I've got a team of machine learning experts. I'm surrounded. Like, all right, Barry, what do I do?
Oh my goodness.
And the the person, obviously, the lead must have known a lot about AI because they answered and they started talking. They said, are you AI? And we trained the bot to say like, oh, you know, we're this is Barry Jenkins' digital assistant and he's hired me to, you know, service my clients. And he said, okay, so you're AI. And he goes, well, what if you're trying to trick me and I'm AI and you're really the human, but you're trying to act like I'm the human and you're AI? And I'm not kidding to you. This is 3 months in. The product was rough at that moment. Our AI laughs. Ha ha ha. That's a mind bender for sure. So, hey, is Sarah available? I'd love to talk to her about her home search. Incredible.
Wow. Right?
So this voice technology became so good at converting leads that we started to look at other applications. And now Maverick is programmatically listening to every conversation over 2 minutes. To leads, not sphere of influence, but to our leads. It grades the call based on a number of factors and listens to the percentage of my sales team that's asking for an appointment, listens to the percentage of my sales team that's overcoming objections, provides a smattering, a word graphic of all the objections my sales organization is getting and how they're overcoming or not overcoming. We've recently iterated on that and we've uploaded my book, Too Nice for Sales, along with a deepfake of me. So it's my face, it's my body, I'm even wearing the white glasses, it's my voice. But basically, I will pop up into Maverick and say, and let's say my agent's name is John. John, you just got off the call with that lead, Mary from Wailopo. Here's what I thought you did a really good job on. Here's the three things I think you need to work on your next call. Like, yeah, it's bananas, okay?
This is awesome.
Like it's and then we iterated on that idea and we said, well, role playing, that's a big issue. So now we have 10 personas in Maverick where our sales team at any time of the day, it doesn't matter, calls the bot, tries to get an appointment. And then when they get off the call, they instantly get an email from Maverick that says, "Here's your grade. Here's what you did correctly. Here's where you need to work." And it's really moved the needle because role play is already difficult. But to know that you're in the comfort of just dealing with AI, it's akin to like practicing a game of basketball with ankle weights. Like, and then you take the weights off and you're able to just perform more
effectively.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
So really cool stuff, man. Really industry changing.
That is really cool. And I really like the idea of the whole role-playing thing. Like that sounds awesome because role-playing just, it is uncomfortable as can be.
Yeah. Well, but. And you know, the part of our brain that we use when we're nervous that we call it fight or flight.
Yeah.
It's instinctive. So when we're nervous, we use our instincts, and for most of us, our instincts are to accommodate, get out of uncomfortable situations.
Yep.
And in a sales call, you have to run to the discomfort, you have to sit in the discomfort, and you have to learn how to craft a conversation. And so I've watched really quickly as my agents that are doing the role playing, they're getting better really quickly.
Yeah, and gold right there, gold. You know, you do have to, you have to run to the conflict.
Yes.
You're right, you have to hit it head on. But when you can do it nice,
yeah.
That's how you win.
Yourself.
That's how you win. Absolutely. That's also how you sleep well at night too, by the way.
It is. Yes. Yes.
I tell people, you know, I don't sleep much, but I enjoy my sleep when I sleep.
Absolutely.
You know, so yeah, your book, your philosophy, you all ring very well with me.
Oh,
so,
thanks,
you know,
man. I really appreciate that.
So listen, we ask everybody that comes on our podcast one question, and I'm going to ask you what you're doing. You know, I know you've already talked about a lot of things here real quick, but I want to see if there's anything else you want to add to what you're doing to lend it forward for the rest of 2024.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
You know, and I'm going to tie it into something that we were talking about earlier. You know, one of the favorite things about the book Too Nice for Sales is how it talks about my failures. And, you know, for me, looking back at moments that were hard in my life, moments that candidly in many ways broke me, right, to where I wasn't sure I was going to get through the next day, that season of my life has become the garden, right? That grave became that garden, like one of those songs tends to sing. And so right now I'm about halfway through my next book. It's called Too Nice for Leadership.
Can't wait.
And yes. And, you know, just like with Too Nice for Sales, when I got about halfway through, I stopped being inspired and creative. And I started working almost as if like I've got homework due. And so as soon as it felt like work and it was no longer an effortless story shared from the heart, I put it down. And so I'm about halfway through my next book. It's really about empowering leaders. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to avoid conflict. There's a way to do it. It's an act of compassion.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, to not be clear with somebody just burdens them with have to figure it out on their own, you know?
Absolutely.
So the kindest thing you can do is so for me, how I'm lending it forward, I'm working on that next book, that Good. Too Nice for Leadership. And really, as I develop this technology with Wailopo and Maverick, I'm enjoying the opportunity of freeing up salespeople to do what they love, which is to have that human connection.
Awesome.
And so both categories for me are very meaningful works that I'm doing, and I'm really passionate about both of them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yep. And I love your philosophy of, you know, when you got to the point where you felt like it wasn't true to yourself on the book, you put it on the shelf for a little bit.
Yeah.
So hopefully it doesn't stay there too long because
no.
The world needs it. And I think a lot of the philosophies that were in Too Nice for Sales really are, you know, usable across all industries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Barry.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. Thank you for sharing from your heart. And thank you for being an awesome human.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.